Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
And we continue hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right. It is Zach Yelp Show Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Now joining us, played in the NFL for the Saints and the Panthers, did win the Lombardi Trophy with the Saints, and did a wonderful job with Alabama football. And as you know now, he's a superstar in television for ESPN and the SEC Network, and that is our pal Roman Harper. Roman, how you been?
I'm doing good. Far from a superstar, though, but appreciate that.
It's all right. You are a superstar. You're modest. You're humble, but it's all right. I would not blow smoke up your ass if you weren't good. You're excellent on television.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Zach.
And I'll say this, too. You've started to understand the media world a little bit, that you know what it takes to annoy some fan bases around college football.
Hey, man, I just go off of what I see, man. And yeah, sometimes I like pulling the strings of some people, but it's all in fun and games, bro. I just love it because fans are just so emotional. They think it's really about them all the time, and it's not. I just talk about your team. It's not personal, but they love to take it personal. And I love having fun with it, bro. And I love sending out a tweet and never checking it again.
Roman Harper here with us. We'll get to college football in just a second. I know you know Sean Payton well. He coached you when you were with the Saints. You get that feel that Sean next year will be back on an NFL sideline?
Everybody wants to know. I think Sean's going to do what Sean wants to do. The one thing I know about Sean is that he loves getting flirted with. So the more they keep it up, the more he's going to enjoy himself. And he may come back. It'd be interesting to get what the Saints will get for compensation-wise, though. I think that's going to ultimately matter as well. Who's willing to give up what?
Could you see Carolina being in play? You know Tepper's going to go take a run. Who knows about the Cowboys if that job ends up opening up. McCarthy's done a good job this year. We'll see what happens with the AFC West. But Carolina, one of your old teams, is now open. Could they be getting your old football coach?
Yeah, do they have enough? Do they have enough to compensate? And I don't know if you say that they do. They're already a team that needs to build. They have drafted away capital. They've already traded away capital, draft capital before. So how much do they have left in the tank? I just don't know if it's enough to get or entice Sean enough. Will the money be there? Yes. Will the culture be there? I don't even know, because half the fans in Charlotte, I live here, they hate Sean Payton because of all the bad times and what he did to them when he was the Saints coach. So, you know, it's going to be this love-hate thing regardless. And it'd be interesting, to say the least. People would be happy in the end because they would win, but people would be so, I don't know, they do not love it at first.
How did you react to the entire whole Matt Rhule situation the last 2-plus years? And now Matt is fired, as we know, with the Carolina Panthers, and we'll see what college job he ends up with next.
So, you're going back to college already. I love that you're calling that shot. Awesome. For me, Zach, I told myself I wouldn't judge him on the first 2 years because I figured Tom Brady or Drew Brees would still be in the division. So he wasn't going to win it. So I said, give him 2 years to grow. Third year, I'll judge him on everything I see. And he didn't make it far. And look, the only knock I had on Coach Rhule was that they did not win games in November and December. And nobody ever talks about how great of a team was in September. Playoff teams are made and built, and they win in November and December. And the Panthers didn't win any games in those 2 months that he was head coach. So that was my only knock. And, you know, we didn't get to see the finished product. You know, I'm not mad at the move. It doesn't seem like the fans are not mad either. It's just Now it's just on to the next one. And how many more moves is Tepper going to have to make before he gets something right?
Is there a name out there? Like, let's say they don't get Sean Payton. Is there a name that you see right now that you go, okay, that guy would be a good fit for Carolina?
I just don't know right now, because it seems like they're in every type, they're in every deal. I don't know if this is a conservative team. I don't know if this is an aggressive team. And at the end of the day, you're not even in the conversation as an organization at one of the top consistently until you get the quarterback squared away. And I do not know that they have that part done either. So it's just more question marks. They continue to build more. It's been four quarterbacks since Tepper has been the team. So who is going to be the guy who's going to help lead this organization? And they got to continue to get things right. I mean, they haven't got a lot of things right yet, Zach.
Talking to Roman Harper. Two more on the Panthers, then we'll get to college football. McCaffrey's been a big topic of conversation. He's under contract for three more years. But you know that team is just nowhere close to being good again. Do you maybe just see what you could get back and then trade McCaffrey by this deadline at the end of the month?
Well, that's what I'm hearing a lot of. It would be interesting to see what somebody would be willing to give up and who's desperate enough to do it, especially now. At this point, I'm just wondering if they're going to do like basketball where, you know, we're just going to sit him to make sure he doesn't get hurt before the trade deadline. That would be interesting to see, too. So with the NFL and where it's going, where it's trending, I wouldn't be surprised if I see anything, Zach. The longer you be around this game, the more crazy and bad stuff you see. So it will be interesting. I think they do have some pieces that they would love to give up because, as I just talked about earlier, they've given up and traded away a lot of draft equity already. So they would love to get some of those picks back going back in the future these next 2 years.
Talking to Roman Harper right now on the Zach Gelb Show. When you look just where this organization is, and it's not a good spot right now, it's just the whole NFL this year has been really crazy. But you look at Baker Mayfield, I don't think he's their quarterback. Have you been surprised how poor Baker has played? I know he's banged up right now. 2 years ago, he was good. Last year, he got hurt. But this guy right now just does not look like he's a good NFL quarterback.
You know, when I talk to people, this is the only thing I say, because I don't watch enough NFL football the way I do college, Zach. Like, I could spit out all kinds of stuff in college, because that's what I watch. And I don't like talking about players in a negative light if I don't see it with my own eyes. But the eyes that I do trust, the guys and friends, sorry, I'm on a plane if you hear all this bag noise. Sorry about that. And the things that I do know is that he's missing the seven route. He's over routes, things of this nature, like that 18 to 21-yard pass. He's not completing on a annual basis, and when you do not complete those passes, it doesn't threaten the defense enough. And at this level, man, you have to be able to threaten the defense. You have to be able to throw and complete passes when everybody in the stadium knows you got to throw the ball. Like, that is what the best teams, that is what the best quarterbacks do, and that's not what Baker Mayfield's been able to do so far this year. Is it a big surprise? I can't say I'm super surprised, because I saw him struggle with a much better group of guys around him in Cleveland.
Roman Harper here with us. What's been the most impressive part for you with Tennessee? Because they're undefeated. We know the big game up against Alabama this weekend, but what has stood out to you so far when you isolate Tennessee?
That Tennessee's been one of the more consistent teams we've seen in the SEC. We know exactly who they're on offense. They're fast up-paced. They're going to spread you out horizontally and vertically, put you on the edges, and also they want to be able to run the ball down the hill and then get one-on-one matchups on the outside versus their really good receivers and win. And you got a great deliverer and Hendon Hooker, who, you know, is very smart with the football. He's athletic enough to get away and escape. He knows how to get down, knows how to protect himself. And he's totally just conducting the show right now. And then also, their defense is also playing much, much better. They're causing turnovers. They're really smart in the secondary at times, majority of the time, I would say. And I really like what they're doing. And also, versus LSU, I thought LSU had the advantage up front. Defensive line versus offensive line, I was dead wrong, Zach. Tennessee's defense got after LSU up front, and that's something that I did not see happening. So maybe they are better up front defensively than I initially thought as well.
Do you think Bryce Young going to play this weekend for Alabama?
I mean, I would say yes if I was a betting man, which sometimes I am, so I would say yes.
So what determines that game?
If Alabama, look, Bryce Young coming back would be great for Alabama, but I still believe that they do not need to make this a straight drop back game, which is so often what I've seen out of Bill O'Brien when Bryce Young was that quarterback. They drop back pass game. I think they need to continue to live and die with the Jahmyr Gibbs run playbook right now, and then be able to, and that will open up more windows, more passing lanes for Bryce Young. So not exactly putting it all on him from day one, from start to finish, because he is coming off injury. He did have a shoulder, you know, a little, whatever that sprain was, whatever it was. And this Jahmyr Gibbs kid is a special player. He, anytime he gets to the second level of a defense, especially the third, and nobody's touched him or he hasn't had a stutter his feet, watch out. This is a big explosive play waiting to happen, and that's what I think Alabama should continue to do. And if they do that, they'll be able to control the tempo and the pace of this game, and they'll win it.
Do you think Alabama is in trouble, though, this weekend? Because the game last week was close. The game against Texas, close, and Tennessee has really been moving along this season. How much of an upset alert maybe is this for Bama this weekend?
Oh, this is, I said it preseason. Zach, you know me, is that I'm very honest. I said this is going to be the toughest game on Alabama's schedule when I first saw the schedule, and I continue to remain and say that. I said it, how great Tennessee is going to be this year. I've been right about all those things. So just it's been really fun to kind of see myself be right on TV. You know how that is, feels, Zach, when you say something early and you're like, you know, that was right about that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you remind everyone. And,
thank you. Yeah, thank you. I do, and I will continue to do that. But this game will come down to, can Alabama play a clean game? Not their best game, but a clean game. We've seen Alabama on these road games or when they're struggle, they have penalties, they have turnovers, all these other things. The percentages say Alabama should not even have had a chance to win that game last weekend. They were -3 in the plus minus in the turnover takeaway battle, which we all know is the most important stat in football. They had 2 missed field goals. Those are 6 other points that are off the board. That game, Alabama should not even have had a chance. But because they're a good championship quality team and play great defense, they gave themselves a chance to win, and they won the game. So all those things, if you play a clean game, Alabama gives themselves a great chance to win this game.
You sound a little bit nervous on this one. Usually you're like, Roll Tide, they're going to win by 40. I don't hear that from you.
Because I would be lying to you if I said that. I told you this is going to be the hardest game for Alabama. Tennessee's a really good team. They're much, much improved. I picked Tennessee to lose this game preseason, and I'm wavering on the fence right now. But I can't give you my pick yet because I got to do it on Saturday. But you just know. Just know.
So you're taking Tennessee is what I'm thinking.
I did not.
Come on, it's just me and you talking. Like, who cares? Who else is listening? Come on, it's just me and you. We're just talking. You know, you got some people on the plane, some people listening to the 200 stations around the country. I think you're going Tennessee.
You'll have to tune in Saturday, Zach. But just know, I might text you when we get off this phone. Just know that one.
Yeah, I can eat all the help in the world right now, gambling games, the way that I've been doing that this year. 2 more before we let you run, because I know you're on a plane and you got to get going. Jimbo Fisher at A&M, how hot is the seat for Jimbo Fisher right now?
I don't think it's that hot, actually. I think they're too pot committed to Jimbo to make any kind of aggressive moves right now. I know they have an endless bank account, but I mean, they're not dumb businessmen. They're women either, you know? So, business is, they're continuing to recruit at a high level. Jimbo has to get this quarterback situation squared away. And I thought Hans King played excellent last week, besides a couple mistakes. But it's also had to do a lot to do because they didn't block worth of crap either. So it's never just one particular thing. We'll see. Because now the questions have been, is will Jimbo hire an offensive coordinator? And I'm pretty sure he's never had to answer that question before or even been asked that question. So it's really interesting to watch Texas A&M, their game plan, what they run offensively versus Alabama, then versus everyone else, how it does not look the same. How it really seems like Jimbo has a beat on what Nick Saban and Alabama's defense likes to do. And now they have the answer to a lot of those questions. But they don't have the same answers to the other tests when they play other teams. It's kind of weird.
I feel like they should just start to play Connor Wigman sooner rather than later because he's supposed to be a stud from everything we read.
Yeah, and I've heard that same statement from some people that I would say co-hosts or co-workers around the building.
All right, when you look at the college football playoff, if you had to take a prediction right now, a clairvoyant Roman Harper prediction, who do you think the 4 teams are at the end of the year?
I would say Ohio State. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. My bad, Zach. I didn't have my seatbelt on. I got yelled at.
Yeah, come on. Fasten that seatbelt. What the heck are you doing, Roman Harper? Get off the phone!
Exactly. All right, so I would say Ohio State, Alabama. I'm going Tennessee.
So actually, you're picking Tennessee this weekend. We finally got it.
And I will go with, it's so crazy because Oregon still has a chance to get in, and also USC. So it'll be very interesting to see how those two kind of play out. But one of the Pac-12 teams, I believe, will make it in this year.
Wow. Even if Clemson's undefeated?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Clemson. I guess Clemson, but I don't think Clemson's that great because they're so limited offensively. I know you can be good on defense and dominate the ACC defensively, but, man, in today's game, when championship ball, you got to be able to put up 30 points. I just haven't seen teams win it since I've been really following college football not be able to score. Like, in today's game, you have to be able to throw the football. You have to be able to score points in high numbers if you want to win championships right now.
Well, he is Tennessee super fan, former Alabama player, now does a great job, SEC Network analyst. I don't want you to get kicked off this flight, so have a safe flight, and thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Hey, Zach, just remember, Roll Tide, baby.
See, he's nervous of those Alabama fans turning against him after they supported him all those years. Always love talking to Roman Harper. We'll come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Bears and the Commanders underway. So the Bears are wearing these orange helmets, these new helmets that they have this year, these alternate helmets. They are disgusting. If I never, let's just say, saw the Bears play football, but I just knew, like all 32 teams in the league, but I've never watched the Bears game. I don't know about you, Ryan. I would have thought that this was a game where it was the Cleveland Browns against the Washington Commanders or the Cincinnati Bengals up against the Washington Commanders. Now, they've gone with their orange jerseys, but when you have the orange jersey with the orange helmet, maybe I'm just starting to go colorblind. But I think Cleveland Browns first, and then if not Browns, I would think the Cincinnati Bengals before I think Chicago Bears.
I would still say Bears just because we've seen the orange jerseys before, whereas like Browns, you haven't. Bengals, yes, but there's no, you know, signature Bengals stripe on the helmets.
I think these helmets are atrocious. I really do.
I think they actually look pretty good.
What are you watching?
Not in person because we're not there, but like, now that they're actually on the field, it looks a lot better than I anticipated.
Okay.
More alternates, the better. They're nowhere near Pat Patriot, I will say. That's one of the best throwbacks in all of the NFL. This is not terrible.
I think it's awful. On a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being great, 1 being awful, this is like a 2.5.
Wow.
It just doesn't look good. You really think that looks good?
I do. I think it's the helmet looks a lot better. I think it's like a matte orange. It's not like shiny. If it was shiny, it's tough. But it's like a matted down, nice orange. It matches the jersey perfectly. I'm a sucker for new things. I love kind of the changeup. The Bears stink. At least look good.
I don't think they look good at all. I don't think they look good at all. Who would you say had the best uniforms in the NFL?
Oh, best uniforms.
If we had to do top 5 uniforms, who are the top 5 uniforms in the NFL?
Including like alternates? Because the reason I ask, I love the Seahawks neon green.
Really?
It's such a good
look. So let's just go traditional jerseys. I think the Chargers have great uniforms.
Yes. Yes, they do. I like the Rams. Actually, no. No. I like the logo.
The Rams and the Chargers, sometimes I confuse.
That's fair. Like the Rams jersey they wore on Sunday against the Cowboys.
You,
their
you
yellow
can't
pants,
give me
the
both
white.
Teams in L.A., though, for best uniform.
No, I have walked back the Rams. That's okay. Because they have
so let's just go five.
Them.
Five best uniforms in the NFL.
I like the Bengals a lot. I like the Bengals.
Bengals have a good uniform. So Bengals, Chargers.
I love the Cowboys blue uniforms they wore on Sunday.
Yeah, great uniform.
Just don't wear them enough, but they look like a tradition.
Now, if you had the Kelly Green uniforms of the Eagles, that's great too.
Yes.
I think the Patriots have great uniforms. I do too. The regular ones. I like their uniforms a lot.
They're okay. I like the all blue better than the blue and silver.
I do like the purple for Minnesota.
Yes. All purple is fresh.
Are we missing anyone that's like egregious?
I like the Chiefs.
You do? Saints are cool, too. I think the Saints are cool. Saints uniforms look tough.
Saints, especially when it's all black or all white.
With the all black, with like a gold helmet, you know.
Wish the gold was a little bit, you know, brighter. Not, you know, like go when Notre Dame did, when Notre Dame kind of added a little sparkle in their helmet. Maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I just think the colors for the Saints are very cool. Like, both helmets. The gold helmet, or if you want to call that gold, with the white and black stripes are very good. And even the black helmets that they wear.
Oh, you know what uniforms I think we're forgetting? The Browns are very clean. Brown and orange. I like the new
they're good.
Browns uniforms. I went back to like their old uniforms. Very clean, very fresh. Big fan of those.
Yeah, they're good. You know what I'm also a sucker for?
Broncos all blue.
I don't say anything positive about the Broncos organization these days.
Well. The blue uniforms look good, I will say.
I'll give you two that we probably don't talk about enough. I think the Steelers, just traditional good uniforms. And then also, you're not going to like this one. You are not going to like this one.
I'm not going to like the Titans?
I think they have good uniforms.
No.
Yes, they do.
Stop.
They do. They have great uniforms.
Dark blue, light blue. And throw in some red. Like, I love the red, white, and blue color scheme. They just throw it in. I don't like that.
I think the dark blue Titans uniform with, like, the light blue underneath the armpit, maybe it's just because when Derrick Henry wears it, it looks really damn good.
Yeah, I don't think he wears it.
But that just looks like, man, I'm ready to watch some football when Derrick Henry has that uniform on. All right, but we basically...
That's cheating.
We've gone through, like, the entire league now, so. I guess we have to end this conversation. Anyone else that we egregiously miss? Egregious.
No, I like the Dolphins. Teal, like they wore the other night.
You know, I like the colors on their ping pong tables right now with Miami Dolphins.
Don't tell Mike McDaniel that.
Yeah, so Tyreek Hill. You know, I thought he was. I thought the table was removed so they could all study film. No, there was a bent in the table.
I'm so proud of my captains. So, one of his quotes was, they take, you know, some people talk, they took action.
Wait, we have that audio, right?
Let's
hear from Mike McDaniel. He says he is proud that the Dolphins captains decided to remove the ping pong.
Tyreek and the captains decided that, you know, they wanted to take a step forward with all of their opponent prep with regard to the team. And their preparation with our game plans in general. So he made the move to take the ping pong tables out of the locker room. That to me is leadership. To me, leadership is acting, not talking.
Now, if you have no clue what we're talking about, you hear that. Today, Tyreek Hill comes out and says, yeah, we just had a dent in the table, and we decided to get better tables, better ping pong tables. I don't know if McDaniel was made available today, but I hope he's made available tomorrow. Hey, Coach, Zach Elp here from 560 WQAM. Early in the week, you fed us this bullcrap that it was good leadership in regards to the captains taking the ping pong tables out. Tyreek says there's just a dent and the table was a little bit bent. You have any comment on that?
You know, you know, it's good leadership, but, you know, Tyreek, I think he was tongue in cheek with you guys. He told me that it was the tables were a distraction. Like, what the heck is that guy going to say?
I have stripped him of his captaincy. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, no longer a captain.
Not the leader that we need.
Oh, I hope that. They don't even make an announcement. They just, like, you see the next game, there's no C on his jersey. Coach, what happened there?
It's also
brought the ping pong tables back.
It's also the dumbest thing, too. How people think, like, even today, I saw Robbie Anderson was speaking. And Robbie Anderson, while he was speaking, there was players, I guess, in the Panthers locker room playing ping pong because you heard the ping pong ball going back and forth. And so many comments on it were like, oh, those players like aren't locked in. Oh, those players don't care. How about they stop playing ping pong, stop having fun in the facility? Like, maybe it's a little bit in a joking context because of this whole Mike McDaniel story. But there are a lot of times where fans think these athletes are just robots, and anytime they're in the facility, it has to be all ball all the time.
Also, weren't the Dolphins playing ping pong when they got off to that 3-0 start?
Exactly.
Like,
thank you. Best point you've ever made in during your time here on CBS Sports Radio.
Did they just bring it in, like, going into that, you know, Thursday night game against the Bengals? I thought, you know what, let's just start playing more ping pong. Forget game planning.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I mean, it's one of those things where, as you know, if you're losing, nothing you do is right, and if you're winning, everything you do is the right thing.
Here's the bold take. The ping pong tables have had nothing to do with the losing the last two games. It's because you lost your quarterback. That's why when you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, I'm just going to get a limb here. You're not going to win many games in the National Football League when you're down to your second-string quarterback, let alone your third-string quarterback.
Hot take, Gilb. Yo, calm down. Don't take my title, all right? There's only one hot take here.
That is true. I am spitting fire right now into this microphone. Act right now. It has to get up and now leave the studio because he knows how hot this studio is right now.
Need a fire extinguisher.
All right, Alabama this weekend against Tennessee. I know he didn't give us an official prediction because he's saving it for the SEC Network show, but when he did say that Tennessee was going to be in the college football playoff, that pretty much tells me, here's another hot take, that Roman Harper is taking Tennessee this weekend up against Alabama. And that is a man that did attend Alabama and played for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So that is an unbiased SEC Network analyst. Until, you know, maybe this. And I love Roman. Roman listens to our show all the time. He's a great guy. Maybe we should bombard Roman Harper's Twitter a little bit. You know, if you're an Alabama fan, maybe send some tweets at Harp41 and go, whoa, you're doubting the Crimson Tide this weekend? You're not picking Alabama? I heard you in the Zach Gelb show. It sounds like you're taking Tennessee. And then maybe we could put the pressure on a little bit, even though he says he doesn't read it or care. Maybe we could put the pressure on Roman Harper to change what we thought was his prediction originally of Tennessee to go to Alabama if people in his own community, the Alabama community, start to turn on him. You think we get that guy to change his prediction?
Or what about this? What if he's trying to use Nick Saban's old rat poison against Tennessee? What if he's feeding Tennessee the cheese? They're going to win.
Yeah,
they're going to beat Alabama. They get all overconfident. And all of a sudden, Nick Saban goes, oh, yeah, I'll show you, Roman.
I love Roman Harper. But if Roman Harper says to the Tennessee like fan base, oh, you're going to win the game, does the Tennessee team like even care about that? He's not a Tennessee guy. I know he's a big SEC Network analyst star, and Mark Stoops had to go after him after that one game for something that he said. But I don't think the Tennessee fans or the players actually care.
Well, it's a former Alabama player saying, oh, Alabama not going to win this game.
Oh, so you're saying that they're going to use that for motivation for Alabama?
Yes, get Tennessee overconfident.
But isn't the rat poison in Alabama, maybe I'm wrong here, but isn't the rat poison in Alabama more so, oh, everyone's praising us, and then don't listen to that praise?
Yes.
There's not been many times people have doubted Alabama.
No, but it's like the reverse. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to take the rat poison and the cheese from Alabama and feed it to Tennessee, get them feeling, you know, better than they really should, and maybe light a fire for the first time in a long time under Nick Saban and have them play the underdog card.
Yeah, Roman just texted me. He said, you're going to have my Alabama fans fired up by Saturday. So I guess he's still listening right now. Hello, Roman. I know we just had you on the show, but hope you're having a getting ready for a safe flight. But I think Bama's going to win the game. I do. Now, we don't know if Bryce Young's going to play. I'm going to lean that he will play. Tennessee has been, resume-wise, a better team than Alabama. I'm just not picking against Alabama until they go down. What are you taking in this game? Who are you taking in this game?
Going Rocky Top.
You are.
The one of the best fight songs in college football. I think we played a lot on Saturday. I like this offense.
A lot? You think it's going to be a blow-up?
No. It's high scoring.
Okay.
High scoring. They'll get up and down the field. The highest scoring teams in the country. I like what they did to LSU. I know LSU's not great, but that was important to play. Start fast, finish fast. I'm going Tennessee. I think this is the year for Tennessee to finally get one over on Nick Saban. Light up those cigars. Let's go.
Now, I have no clue what Vegas tries to tell you anymore because I try to evaluate what Vegas tells you, and in my NFL picks, they have just been horrendous this year. Maybe we could turn it around. Last year, we gave you an unbelievable year. It was like 11 or 12 games over 500. Now we're 4-11 to start the year with NFL picks. But Vegas making Alabama a 7 or 7.5 point favorite, how does that make sense? Because I think most people look at that and they go, oh, we should plus the points. I don't know where the money's going right now. But I think most people would right away go, oh, plus the points with Tennessee. I think Vegas is daring you to plus the points with Tennessee with how good Tennessee has been this year. And they're just banking that Alabama is going to win this game by 10-plus points. That's what I think that what Vegas is trying to get people to do. And that does concern me a little bit, Ry.
Sometimes they give you freebies. Sometimes. Not very often.
You tell me where the freebies have been. You too, Mr. Hickey's
Pickies. Oh, I'm not saying I'm any good at picking. I'm just saying there's sometimes that lines make no sense, and all of a sudden you look, and it's like, oh, wow, that actually it wasn't too good to be true.
It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back, and we'll get into Dan Snyder supposedly making that push for Carson Wentz. That's why Carson Wentz is on the Commanders.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This game right now sucks. Another week, another crappy, and I mean crappy, Thursday night football game. Hickey, here we go again. Hey, you thought last week was bad. Oh. Yeah, I'm ready to go there. I think this game's going to be even worse. At least there was like somewhat of a big storyline last week. You have the Broncos, who were thought to be going to be a good team before the year by you, not me. You had the Colts, who probably before the year were most people's, including myself and yours, AFC South pick. The Commanders stink, and the Bears stink. So at least last week you had some hope heading into the season with those two teams. There's no hope with these two teams before the start of the season. For the Commanders, you knew that Carson Wentz was going to fail. And for the Chicago Bears, this is a rebuild. The fact that they've already won 2 games is crazy, but they're not actually a good team. So this is going to be a painful game. And maybe first touchdown wins.
Well, I mean, considering last week we had no touchdowns. I would take a touchdown. I mean, I'm glad, honestly.
It was 12-9 last week. You are right on that.
We at least got a few first downs. I mean, I will say last week, I mean, I think it took to like midway through the second quarter for the Colts to get a first down. It was ugly. It set
offensive football
back.
Yeah, but at least like those teams, at least they have story. Like these teams have no storylines. Other than the Dan Snyder story that came out today, which is like the 9,000 story about Dan Snyder. And it's once again, oh, he's a disgrace. Oh, get him out of the league. Okay, now he's trying to fight back and all that. And he's going to basically blackmail all these people and hire investigators. Like, other than that story with the Commanders, nothing with the Commanders. Oh, what, Ron, you're going to sell me on the whole Ron Rivera, Carson Wentz thing? Like, come on. The guy sucks. Everyone knows that Carson Wentz is a crappy quarterback.
I agree with your disgust, and you're 100% right. What I will say is this.
Poor Al Michaels.
Yes. Oh, Kirk Herbstreit, well, at least actually, he sounds like he's happy to be there, but Al Michaels is ready to be anywhere but the booth.
I'm sorry. Herbstreit and Michaels make enough money. If they have to watch some bad football, go ahead. We're not getting paid. Oh, we are getting paid to watch this, but they're getting paid to call that.
They're getting paid a lot more.
You could pay me, what, 1/12 of what those guys make? If you want to say that, or whatever the percentage would be, you could pay me next to nothing to call those games. Those guys are getting paid, and deservedly so, handsomely. So I don't actually have sympathy for Michaels and Herbstreit. Maybe Michaels is.
He might retire.
He joked about that last week.
Have we ever had a Vontae Davis in the booth? I don't think so.
Coach, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm out. I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm out.
Who's in the shower at halftime? There's Vontae coming out dressed in the suit. All right, I'll see you guys later. Where are you going? Imagine Herbstreit comes out at halftime.
I just called him Kirk because every time now I see Kirk Herbstreit, I think of Jack Stern calling him Kurt Herbstreit.
Kirk Herbstreit. Could you imagine he comes out? All right, well, Al has left the building. I will now be doing play-by-play and analysis. So, Kirk, what do you think on that 3rd-and-2 run? Well, great call there, Kirk. Number one. Number two.
Another job for Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, it's exactly what he needs.
The two things that I'm now struggling to say. Well, I struggle to say many things. But in terms of just simple things, Kirk Herbstreit will now forever be engraved in my brain as Kurt Herbstreit because of Jack Stern thinking the guy's name is Kurt Herbstreit. And the other, we've said it so many times with Al Michaels, by the hair of their skinny teeth when he said that in a playoff game. So any time I'm like worked up, I'm like, oh, they survived that game by the hair of their chinny chin chin. I start to say the hair of their skinny teeth. But like if you never listened to the show, or you never heard the Michaels clip, you'd be like, what the heck is this guy smoking? What is he doing? And now for a guy that I've watched call football for basically 20 years in Kirk Herbstreit, it's engraved in my brain as Kurt Herbstreit because of Jack Stern. That's a problem, Mickey. We got big time problems.
It's not a problem unless you're a guest on the show and you say, hey, Kurt. All right, so Kurt Herbstreit joining us here. I think if I was going to hang up the phone, but that's really where it's only a true issue.
I think he's a good enough, nice guy that he wouldn't hang up the phone.
Not to boost his ego, doesn't need it. To be that well known and to have a host butcher the name like twice.
Yeah.
Like, so what if someone called you Jack Gelb? All right, welcome onto the show, Jack Gelb. Oh, Zach. Oh, geez. I didn't know that.
Well, when I first started to do Eye on Football, one of the stringers called me Jack for like the first full game. This was 2 years ago. When I first did it, there was a few J's thrown in there. A few Jacks that I heard.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's right, so, and you just let it go?
No, we fired the person. Nah, I told Connor, I go, tell the guy my name's Zach. You know, this is embarrassing that the guy's calling me Jack.
All right, Jack, it's 3rd-and-2 here.
You know, not to sound like a jerk, but like, come on. They say the name 10,000 times. Oh, we could get a touchdown. Oh, we got life.
I don't say a motion, but
tumbling all the way down to the 6 or 7 yard line. Was that Khalil Herbert?
It was.
Look at that. The Commanders lose this game.
They stink, but this is a must win.
But they stink.
But you're right.
Like, trust me, Carson Wentz is not good. I've made that abundantly clear to anyone that's willing to listen. But the guy usually puts up somewhat of productive stats. Like, when you look at the stats, you're like, oh, that's somewhat productive. And then he has the crucial interception. How many passing yards does he have in this game right now? He's 18 passing yards. Now, he's only thrown the ball twice, but 18 passing yards. This is disgusting. Now, the last time the Bears were in the red zone, you had Justin Fields have an interception. So we'll see if they could score. But the Bears opened up this game with a punt. Then the Commanders, 3 and out. Then you got 11 plays all the way down to the 5, interception. Then the Commanders took the field, 5 downs, punt. And now Khalil Herbert just went for 64 yards. Then on the very next play, Justin Fields running, and there is a flag on the play. Do we know what this flag is yet? Is it holding?
No.
Too many men on the field? Defense? Oh. The Commanders are such a sloppy team. You know, Ron Rivera His team has no discipline. And they're playing so poorly. Oh, yeah, they clearly have 12 guys on the field. What's he complaining about? What is Ron Rivera complaining about that penalty? There's clearly 12 guys on the field, Ryan. Do you see anything there? I don't get it.
I don't know if he's yelling at the ref or one of his players, because obviously someone blew an assignment.
It's the Carson Wentz factor. My owner wanted Carson Wentz. I had to trade for Carson Wentz. Do you know how bad it is that we have Carson Wentz? Oh, coach, you're on defense. I don't care. Wentz stinks. This guy sucks. How about that? There was a lot from the Snyder story, clearly, today that, you know, has dirt on the owners, has hired private investigators, tracking owners in Goodell, has a file on his friend, Jerry Jones, who's starting to, I guess, lose confidence in him. Jerry Jones, happy birthday. It's your 80th birthday. Yep. Dan Snyder's a little file against you. And if they try to remove Dan Snyder, he's going to take the NFL down with him. Now, the Commanders said that the report's basically bullcrap and they've denied it, but they've denied so many things throughout the years. As, oh my goodness gracious, Justin Fields had his tight end wide open, and he overthrew him.
Really quickly, so the last Thursday night game was Colts-Broncos. The one before that was Dolphins-Bengals. Do you have any idea on the last touchdown score? They had a late touchdown, right? Like T. Higgins, something like that? The Bengals did kind of pull away?
Yes, yeah, it was a long touchdown.
So I'm trying to think of the TD drought here. You might... Almost all the way through overtime last week with no touchdown. So far, you're through a quarter and 3 minutes here, no touchdown. Like,
was the T. Higgins thing late?
I thought maybe not him specifically. I think his was early, but I thought the Bengals got one last like late touchdown to truly put it away. If I'm not remembering correctly,
Hayden Hurst
with how much time? Like
1:52 left in the fourth quarter.
That was the last touchdown we saw.
Jeez.
On Thursday night.
Fourth. Are they going for it? Don't you take the field goal here?
Go for it. What the hell?
If you're trying to win the game, you take the field goal. It's fourth and goal here.
Fourth and goal from the one-yard line. I go for it.
Oh,
go for it. Because then you know what? It's Carson Wentz. He'll throw a bad pick at it. He's near the goal
he'll
line.
Throw an underhanded interception. But how about that?
Or lefty.
How about that part that it was Snyder who really wanted Carson Wentz? Now, it doesn't exonerate Ron Rivera. I'm sure Ron Rivera still wanted him. And they got stuffed. They got stuffed.
The touchdown drought continues.
You know what? I love my job. I love talking football. This game is a waste of time. Have both teams right now. Shake hands. We're ending in a tie. I don't want to see any more of this. This is a disgrace. But anyway, I know, hey, Rivera still made the move, but Snyder, he never gets anything right at the quarterback position. And what the heck did you see from Carson Wentz that made you believe that this guy was going to be any different? Well, it's now gone 99-yard drive and put the ball in the end zone for the first time tonight.
Does that change your opinion on Ron Rivera's thoughts from earlier this week?
It's a good question. Maybe he wasn't fully on board, but there were other options. Now, how realistic was it that people want to join the Commanders? That's another thing. But yeah, maybe it shows that he wasn't fully on board.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates, and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like, happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery, and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like, that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org.